Welcome into LSU Breakdown Episode 30. I'm going to have Steve back on with me this time to talk about the LSU offense and LSU's schedule for the season and potentially how far this team can go with the talent that they have within the program. So, Steve, welcome back to the show, and let's kick this thing off.
Just give me your thoughts on Joe Brady and the passing. What are you expecting out of this offense? Do you think they're going to be, like, more high-powered passing, or do you think it's going to be the traditional type of balanced attack?
I think we're probably getting into an area where they're going to be changing up a lot of stuff. So I really think maybe they'll be doing something to be more pass-efficient this year. You know, they worked it in last year, kind of worked out for them sometimes, not all the time, but they did get into it. So I think with the addition of everybody coming in this year and a bunch of new talent that, you know, they're going to keep opening the passing game up, and we should be able to see a lot more good throws by Burrow this year.
Yeah, I think we'll see Burrow, you know, start to throw the ball more and be a better or a more efficient passer rather this year. Keep talking about Burrow, where would you rank him among SEC quarterbacks for 2019?
It's kind of hard to put him in a spot right now. The guy had a great year at LSU last year. Five games without an interception. Was pretty solid through most of the year. Very consistent with what he did. You got to put him in the top five, I think, in the SEC. Easy. It's really hard to say what number he's going to sit at because there is a lot of good talent in the SEC when it comes to quarterbacks. So, it's kind of a hard decision to make in that regard.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm just going to go ahead and let you know. I ranked him at third behind Tua Tagovailoa and Jake Fromm from Georgia. But I would put Felipe Franks at four from Florida. I just think Burrow's a better quarterback. Staying with the offense, who do you think is going to be kind of a breakout player this year that can make this offense, you know, really explode or, you know, have a better year – production-wise?
You know, one guy I'm looking at this year that we have not heard from since he's been there would be Leonard Fournette's little brother, Leonard. I think that he has a lot of potential in him and really hasn't had a chance to really get out and showcase any of his talent. And look, LSU's got a stable of running backs just like they always do, but he's going to fall in line in that third category, you know, that third role for them. And I think he's going to get a lot of touches and a lot of looks this year. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what he can bring to the table. I think that he may be one of the breakout players for the offense this year, at least from the running back standpoint. Wide receiver-wise, it's really kind of hard to say. That's always a toss-up. There's just so many good guys that are potential great players that could just break out at any point in time.
Yeah, I didn't really go with a running back in that situation. I went with Racy McMath. I still can't talk from the last podcast. But I went with Racy McMath. You know, he came on last year, had a really good season. You and I were both like, who is this guy? But, you know, he kind of broke out last year. And I think he's going to play a pivotal role in their receiving corps this year with Ja'Marr Chase and Terrace Marshall and Stephon Sullivan and those guys. So I took McMath there, but I thought about taking a running back, and if I would have, I would have took Leonard Fournette there.
Well, I just think, you know, there again, that he hasn't had a chance to really get out and showcase any talent, and I think that, you know, at this stage in the game, he knows that if he gets the opportunity, he's going to have to just let it ride. So you should see a lot from him when he gets the opportunities this year.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, with Edwards-Helaire being there, I think Leonard Fournette's going to – you know, he's obviously going to get his touches. And, you know, we might even get to see him on kickoff returns and stuff like that. But shifting over to the defensive side, you know, I know you and I are really both high on Grant Delpit. That's one of our favorite players on the –
That's my guy. I mean, come on, that's my guy.
Yeah, exactly.
He has been since he started playing for LSU. So
yeah, I know, because he's that good.
He is that good.
And I'll get to him in just a second, but there's one guy on this defense that I think is really going to have a good year, and that's Derek Stingley Jr., the freshman. You know, he's a really highly touted secondary player, and I think LSU is going to use him really well. And, you know, what he did in the spring game was great. We saw what he can do just a little bit, you know, because LSU doesn't really, you know, show us much in the spring game, but he contributed, you know, pretty well. And he's going to have a really good season.
I would agree with that. I think he's going to be a really solid player for LSU over the next few years. So, you know, trying to come back and fill the roles of people that have left, you know, like Devin White and all them, you know, they move on and you got to find the next guy up. So I think this guy's going to get plenty of playing time, and I really think he's going to end up turning out good for them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, with losing Greedy Williams and John Battle and those guys, I think their secondary, they're not going to have a tough time kind of reloading. I think they'll be just fine. On the podcast I was just on that'll drop on Wednesday, they brought up something at the very beginning. They did like a little head coaching tournament of like a kind of, I guess it was kind of like a cage match type of thing. The final match was Ed Orgeron against Mike Gundy from Oklahoma State. Who do you think would win?
Wow. You gave me a hard choice there, but I'm going to have to say, I got to take Coach O all the time. And let me tell you why. I mean, this guy, from a coaching standpoint, is in the place that he loves, is an absolute fit for the school, for Louisiana. He just melds so well with that team, and he is just the perfect fit there. So you got to take him just about over everybody, because you just don't find guys like that that fit that well in the place they're coaching.
Yeah, yeah, they asked me the same thing, and I was like, look, I said, I got to go with Orgeron. I got to take Orgeron over anybody that you would list. And they were even like, you know, Orgeron probably fights alligators, and Mike Gundy, I can't remember what they said about him, but that just kind of won me over. And I tried to picture it in my mind. I was like, Ed Orgeron wrestling an alligator would be tremendous to see.
That would, because I could guarantee you we're going to be eating gator tail at the end of that match.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure. And just one last thing. What are your predictions for LSU this year? Do you see them being more of a college football playoff sleeper team, or maybe a New Year's Six team like they were last year? Where do you see them finishing at?
Realistically, I see them being a New Year's Six team again. There's always so many variables going through a season with injuries and things like that that you really can't predict, so it's hard to say. I think they have the caliber to be a playoff team. It's just about getting the pieces to fall together when they need them to. We both know that there's just several games that are always toss-ups that could go either way, and it's really hard to sit back and say, well, they're just going to run the table or they're going to lose one or two games. You just never know from week to week. So many things change in college football from week to week with injuries and stuff. So, I do believe that they are a New Year's Six team, solid, but I also believe that they're a playoff team if they can stay healthy and have everybody, you know, in the right spots at the right time this year. So
most likely 10-2, 11-1, somewhere around there, which is what I pretty much have been finishing at. I like I said on the Outside the Huddle podcast, I think their lowest point would be 8-4. Obviously that Texas game, second game of the year in Austin, is going to be their first true test of the season. I think that game will really give us a definitive explanation of where LSU was at as a team.
But in that game this year, what I like is that LSU actually has a warm-up game before that this year. Give them a little bit of time to iron out, you know, whatever issues they've got going out.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But I mean, LSU can't just look over Georgia Southern. I mean, I know Georgia Southern's a Sun Belt team, but they were a pretty good Sun Belt team last year. I've got to see Georgia Southern firsthand, you know, covering Troy the last couple of years. They're actually a pretty talented team now. I don't think they're going to go in and upset LSU. I mean, I know Troy did a couple of
years. Well, I was going to say, you know, don't say that, because we never know. We watched that firsthand.
Yeah, yeah.
I called that one before they even played.
Yeah, see, you shouldn't have said that because they probably would have won. But I don't think LSU can overlook them. Now, I think LSU's obviously going to come out with a win. And that may prepare them a little bit for Texas, but Texas is a really good team. They beat Georgia in the Sugar Bowl last year. They've got a pretty good quarterback that everybody seems to hate in Sam Ehlinger, and I don't know why because he's a really good quarterback. And their defense is always pretty good, so that's LSU's first true test, and if they lose that game, that could really kind of define their season.
That very well could. There again, it you know, you never know what you're going to get from week to week. The LSU team has plenty of talent to come out, and let's be honest, they have enough talent they could run the gauntlet and be undefeated. We haven't seen that. But it's always a possibility. They have the talent to do it. It's just about being, you know, staying healthy and playing the game that's set forth. And, I mean, look, they've got LSU's got a stable of coaches that could beat anybody at any time. There's no reason why this year can't be the year.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, with the talent they have, especially returning back from last year, not even just bringing in freshmen, I mean returning juniors and sophomores, players like that from last year. I think LSU can be a really talented team, and I think they can go far. Now, ESPN has them one of the most likely teams to upset Alabama, which I hate because ESPN does that, it seems like, every single year. And then LSU gets shut out 29-0 like they did last year.
True.
But I truly, I know I've said it, I think this is really the year LSU pulls it off. I really do. It's been 8 years. It's been too long. LSU is way too talented of a team to go into Tuscaloosa and lose that game. And, I mean, look, Alabama's good. They're always going to be good. But I think if LSU can do the right things defensively and contain Tua and Najee Harris at running back and Henry Ruggs and Jerry Jeudy at wide receiver, I think LSU has a very, very good chance to pull it off.
I do too. I think this year probably is the year LSU pulls it off against Alabama. There's just other games I'm more worried about them losing besides that one.
Florida, obviously. Texas A&M, you know, last year was kind of a dumbfounded game, if you will, because it went to 7 overtimes and they lost when, frankly, LSU probably most likely should have won that game.
They should have won that game long before it went to overtime, but – Another team that I'm more worried about this year is Auburn. LSU has Auburn late in October before they play Alabama, which is a little bit different than what we're accustomed to seeing when LSU and Auburn play. Of course, we don't know what Auburn's got this year yet, but you know that's always a tight game. And now they're playing them a little bit later in when they're going to have, you know, potential injuries, things like that. So it's kind of a two-edged sword there, because now you got two Alabama teams back-to-back, and you know they're both going to be playing solid. So,
if you look at their schedule, they play Florida at home on October 12th, then they go to Mississippi State the next week, and then they host Auburn. And the thing with Auburn is they've got two quarterbacks in Bo Nix, who was a 5-star recruit, and Joey Gatewood. They can mix-match both of those and go a two-quarterback system, and LSU not know which one to prepare for, which could throw them off guard. I would agree with you there. Auburn would be a game to watch. But my trap game for this year is Ole Miss, just because, you know, they got Matt Corral at quarterback, who was originally committed to Florida, for the people who don't know. And then he left and went to Ole Miss. He's a really good quarterback. I know this is really his first year playing college football full-time, if you will. But he's a really solid quarterback. He put up stellar numbers in high school, and I know that transition from high school to college is so different. But I think what Matt Luke is doing at Ole Miss, I think he's got that program in a really good position to be a sleeper team this year in the West.
I would agree with that. It's getting to the point where you just never know anymore from week to week, SEC-wise, who's going to come out firing. So it's a back and forth crapshoot every week when you play, and you know It's just getting more difficult in the SEC anymore to pick a winner because it can always go either way. It's not like it used to seem to be where there was just a superior dominant force other than Alabama. Alabama's been that way, you know, for quite some time now. But other than that, the other teams in the SEC, it's really just a toss-up from week to week on who's got the better team. I mean, look what Kentucky did last year. You know, Missouri's been back and forth. They've never been an over-the-top team, but, you know, they've had some good wins over the past few years. A&M, especially with Fisher there now, making really great decisions and playing great games and beating people. Ole Miss, you know, even Vanderbilt came out firing for a little bit. You know, it's Vanderbilt. They weren't going to hold up the whole season, but they did come out and they made a statement early. So you just never really can tell anymore, except for Tennessee. Tennessee's still, yeah, Tennessee's Tennessee.
Yeah, Tennessee's just on the low end. They've been on the low end for a while. And, I mean, I kind of hate it for them, you know, but maybe they'll bounce back one day. But, yeah, I agree with you. I mean, even look at Missouri with, you know, what they did coming to the SEC, winning the East, you know, those 1 or 2 years that they won it. And now they've got Clemson transfer Kelly Bryant over at quarterback. That's a really, really interesting outlook for Missouri. I'm going to keep a very close eye on him, especially when Troy plays Missouri. But, you know, I think that LSU is going to be one of the better teams in the West. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say Arkansas is going to be a sleeper team because they're probably going to finish like 2-10. But Ole Miss, Mississippi State, A&M, all these other teams in the West, they're going to have, you know, pretty solid seasons, I think. So I think the end of Alabama just running through the West, you know, might be over. And I think that LSU could be one of the teams to contend for an SEC West division title.
Well, I mean, you know, there again, we've thought this about Alabama for years now that it was going to come to an end. And, you know, teams have made their case against them. Look what Auburn did to them on the 1 second, you know, field goal return. It happens, but they always find a way to stay there, which is something that an LSU team should be able to do at this point. They have the right coaching staff now, I believe, and the talent is just endless at this point that they're getting in year, you know, year to year. So there's no reason why they shouldn't be able to be at that point and that level that Alabama's playing now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean,
look at Georgia. Georgia's even pretty much at that point now. It's when Alabama and Georgia play, it's a toss up on who's going to get the right play at the right time. That's all it comes down to at this point. It's no more just running everybody over. It's now it's strategic and somebody's going to get the right play at the right time to win the game. So,
yeah, I mean, if you look at all these other dynasties and all these other sports that are coming to an end, I think Alabama is going to be right there. I think their dynasty comes to an end at some point. Now, whether LSU can start one, you know, here in a couple of years, this year, whatever, is still to be unknown. I don't think they will, but I think they have a very good shot to contend for SEC championships for at least the next 2, 3, 4 years with the talent they have there now. And Orgeron's doing a really good job on the recruiting trail. I love what he's doing. And, yeah, I think they're going to be set for a couple of years.
Right.